This is Ethan Winarovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. We'll have reports from Don Wick and Tyler Donaldson this morning. A cool start to the day. Temperatures dipping into the mid to upper 30s in parts of the region. Endon reporting Willow City, North Dakota, dropping to 36 degrees. Botno had 38, Oaks 39, Crookston and Grafton 41, Mandan 42, Jamestown down to 43. Today expected to bring sunshine with possibility of ground fog during the morning hours. Afternoon highs warming up into the low to mid 70s. Late this evening, clouds coming back in as a Canadian low pressure system brings showers and thunderstorms to central and southern parts of the region overnight into tomorrow morning, and some rain totals could exceed 1 inch. In locations. President Trump says he's not planning to fire Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, but hasn't ruled it out. During a closed-door meeting, Trump asking Republican lawmakers if he should oust Powell, and reports are most said yes. The president claims Powell overspent on Fed building renovations and said he might try to remove him for cause. Trump has repeatedly criticized Powell for not cutting interest rates fast enough. Powell's term ending next May, and the administration is already considering replacements. The president says he plans to impose a blanket tariff of 10 to 15% on imports from over 150 countries. Speaking at the White House alongside Bahrain's crown prince, Trump said notices will be sent out soon to smaller trading partners. The president clarified the uniform tariffs would not apply to major players such as China and Japan, which already have separate agreements. Tariff letters have already been sent to countries, including the EU, Japan, and South Korea, with rates taking effect on August 1st. President Trump using social media to announce Coca-Cola will use cane sugar in its soda sold in the U.S. In Trump's words, quote, "This will be a very good move by them." Coke completely made the switch to high fructose corn syrup back in 1984. Corn Refiners Association President and CEO John Bodie said the move doesn't make sense. In a statement, Bodie said this switch will cost thousands of American food manufacturing jobs, depress farm income, and boost imports of foreign sugar, all with no nutritional benefit. Strathcona farmer and director with both the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association and the American Soybean Association, Jim Kukowski, recently joining other Minnesota farmers in Washington, D.C. to push for progress on the stalled farm bill.
Back 3-4 years ago, prices for soybeans was like over $14. Now it's under 10, you know, so, and farm bill, we got some through on the budget bill, you know, the crop insurance and the reference price and all that. So that was a good thing, but now we got the rest of it to go through. So, you know, for conservation and stuff like that. So
Kukowski said high crop input costs and disagreements over nutrition programs remaining the key sticking points in negotiations.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the crop inputs. That's one of the big things. You know, previous years, the crop inputs were, the market would go down, the crop inputs would go down, and now it seems like they're going up and never coming down.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says recent trade talks and tariffs are focused on leveling the playing field for American agriculture, especially with key competitors like Brazil.
Brazil's unfair tariffs have allowed the country to shelter its domestic ethanol industry from competition here in the United States. Brazil is trying to take global market share away from the United States by producing artificially cheap ethanol. The Biden administration failed to take clear action to address this problem. I'm hoping the Trump administration can utilize trade negotiations with Brazil to level the playing field and increase market access for U.S. ethanol producers.
Grassley says the Senate leadership is also open to a second Big Beautiful Farm Bill later this year to address additional policy concerns. The National Sunflower Association is pleased with how the new farm bill addresses key needs for sunflower growers. Executive Director John Sandbachen says most of the priorities were included in that broader legislation.
Overall, though, for sunflower, you know, it turned out really well. Our reference prices were addressed, loans were addressed, crop insurance, trade programs. So overall, the Big Beautiful Bill was a good package for sunflower. But, you know, like you said, the skinny farm bill is out there, and there's other needs out there we need to address.
Sandbachan gives credit to North Dakota Senator John Hoeven.
You know, we worked really hard here for, man, at least the last 2-3 years trying to get a farm bill put together. And I, you know, I just really have to credit Senator Hoeven and his staff for getting it into the vehicle that they did to get things passed. You know, North Dakota is so fortunate to have him in that position. You know, and he's been such a strong advocate for agriculture. I honestly can't just say enough good things about Senator Hoeven.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Farm banks continue to play a vital role in rural economy. The American Bankers Association says farm banks ending 2024 with $115 billion in agricultural loans, focusing heavily on small microloans critical to rural producers. The broader banking industry remains the top source of ag credit, holding $205 billion in farm loans, nearly 38% of all farm lending. Despite global uncertainty and supply chain issues, farm banks posting strong financial results and improving asset quality last year. A new federal tax provision offering some welcome relief to farmers planning to transfer land to the next generation. Farm management specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension, Kelly Wilford, says the change in the tax code could help soften the blow of capital gains tax.
There was a neat little provision about capital gains on farmland that got squeezed in. So it's going to become code section 1062 in the Internal Revenue Code. And what that provision does is it actually allows you to spread out any capital gains on farmland over 4 installments over 4 years. Well, what does that mean exactly? If we're not dealing with estate tax, we've decided, hey, we don't want to hold on to all of these assets until the very moment we die. We're maybe thinking about transferring that land a little sooner and potentially with a sale.
More than 200 people turned out for the Answer Plot Tour in central North Dakota yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick was there, filed this report.
The alfalfa has enjoyed tremendous growth with the persistent rains this summer. Winfield United alfalfa and forage specialist Jeff Jackson says there are dairy operations doing green shop or haylage that are already on their third cutting.
When we get into these guys maybe trying to do dry hay, and we're still struggling to get, maybe even in some cases, they want to get their first cutting off, and we get these rain events, and maybe second crop's a little struggle. The good thing, I think, is that the tonnage is going to be good, but then now we start questioning quality and what that's doing, and if we're having trouble managing insects or even maybe some weed issues because of the rain and being able to get in the field or not make ruts. I feel like it's been a really good year for a lot of guys in the respect of tonnage and moisture, but then we struggle with some of the other management pieces that come along with it.
At the Answer Plot Innovation Farm Tour in the Washburn-Wilton, North Dakota area, Jackson said there are also forage opportunities with lesser-known crops in this region.
We have the ability to do warm season crop with sorghums. Then we can roll right into a cool season crop that we can put triticale down, get that started in the fall like we do our winter barley and winter wheat. Maybe have an opportunity to graze in the fall, let it overwinter, graze it in the spring. Maybe you graze it and take hay. Maybe you graze it and chop silage. Maybe you even combine some grain. A lot of opportunities to have a crop on that acre and not have to sit and look at bare dirt and watch wind blow.
This is the third year of crop research at the Answer Plot Innovation Farm in central North Dakota. The focus is on diverse crops, including wheat, sunflowers, canola, alfalfa, and field peas. I'm Don Wick reporting on the Red River Farm Network.
U.S. corn exports on track to hit record highs. USDA Economic Research Service raising its 24-25 corn export forecast by 100 million bushels, bringing the total to 2.75 billion bushels. That's a 22% increase from the previous year. Strong demand from South Korea, Mexico, and Spain driving the growth. Unlike the last record in 2020-2021, this year's export surge is happening with minimal demand from China. CHS Ag Services taking time to thank its growers this summer, hosting a series of customer appreciation events across the region, including one in Warren, Minnesota last night. Senior Director of Operations Ryan Anderson says it's important to recognize the people behind the success of the business.
We try to do a number of these through the year. It's kind of a nice time of the summer where things are kind of winding down a bit, where we can actually you know, sit down, take a breath, and you know, appreciate our growers for the business that we get and the partnership that we have with them.
Anderson says CHS wouldn't be where it is today without its customers and their continued support.
We are nothing without our growers and our customers. That's what makes this business successful. It's why we have jobs. So you know, we don't get to tell them thank you enough. We wish we could do more of these throughout the year, but lives are busy, the business is busy, so it's fun for us to be able to just sit down and you know, to have that you know, appreciation for our growers and be able to just sit down and visit with them. It's a good time of the year to do it for us.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. University of Minnesota Extension hosting their Crops and Soils Day at Crookston, Minnesota yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
Speaking with Extension sugar beet agronomist Tom Peters. Tom, talk to me a little bit about what you have going on out in the fields here, how the sugar beets are looking, and what all you shared with people.
I have two kinds of experiments. I have what I call efficacy experiments, usually where I evaluate weeds and the effects that herbicide treatments have on weeds. The second kind of experiment I have is called a tolerance experiment. And in those experiments, we maintain them weed-free. And the idea is to measure the effect of herbicides on sugar beets in a weed-free environment. They allow us to understand the benefits of herbicides, but also the potential barriers that we have with herbicides.
What are some of the results of those? Did anything stand out to you?
So in the experiments, there's necrosis injury, there's growth reduction injury, and there's malformation injury. So I think it's a wonderful picture for the growers as to what we can potentially see from these treatment combinations. The questions are we going to lose yield? And I don't know. I think in many cases they'll all yield the same, but that'll be something that we'll work out in September and October.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
More U.S. farms filing for bankruptcy in the first 3 months of 2025 than during all of 2024. University of Arkansas Extension economist Ryan Loy says 259 filings have already been recorded this year, the highest since 2021. Loy pointing to falling commodity prices and persistently high input costs as major factors, comparing the situation to the financial stress farmers faced in 2018 and 2019. Taking a look at overnight trade here, we're seeing Minneapolis wheat. September, we are down 1.5, 598. December's down 1 at 619. September Chicago down 3.75 at 537.5. At September KC down 3.75 at 519. September corn down 0.25 now at 405. December is down 0.5 at 423.5. And soybean September is up 1.5 now, 10.07.25. November is up 1.25 at 10.21.75. Taking a look at the calendar of events going on around the area. The NDSU and USDA Root Maggot Control Research event is going on today in St. Thomas, North Dakota, and it starts at 10 a.m. And also, upcoming meetings here, the National Poultry Improvement Plan meeting, Minneapolis, and North Dakota State Fair in Minot going on July 18th through the 25th. This is the Red River Farm Network.